Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high, hallelujah. Sing ye hymns, thou worth reply, love's redeeming work is done, hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won, hallelujah. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er, hallelujah. Lo, he sets in blood no more, lives again our glorious King, hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting, hallelujah. Once he died our souls to save, hallelujah. Where's thy victory boasting grave, hallelujah. Please be seated. With that hymn still ringing about our room, I want to again welcome you to our gathering this morning here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister with this congregation, and I am so glad to see so many of you. Thanks for your presence today. If you are visiting with us, what a joy and an honor it is that you've chosen to be with us. If you are participating online today, thanks for your presence that way as well. And as usual, we will share communion a little bit later in our service, and you can grab your supplies and get that ready beforehand. For a few moments before we continue in song, would you stand, please, greet one another in the name of the Lord before we read our psalm. Let's do that now, please. Our gathering psalm this morning is from Psalm 118. Let's remain standing, please, as you make your way back to your seats. Our gathering psalm is from Psalm 118. I'm going to read the parts in white. If you will please join me for the parts in yellow. Leo is going to move the slides for us. Here we go. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let's sing together.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all his angels praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him, sun and moon and stars on high. All ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky, let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Them forever he established, his decree shall ever stand. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons all. Fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy winds that hear him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth's judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the God of all grace, who has bought us and sought us and guided our ways. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Who has held the oceans in his hands? Who has numbered every grain of sand? Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Who has given counsel to the Lord? Who can question any of his words? Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Who has felt the nails upon his hand, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humble to the grave, Jesus, Savior, risen now to reign. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him. Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore him. Behold our King. Nothing can compare. Come, let us adore him.
Please be seated.
Good morning. How everybody doing today on this Easter Sunday? Father God, I want to pray right quick. Father God, I want to bless every one of us, every one of your children that's in the world, Father God, on this Easter Sunday. Thank you for waking them up this morning. Thank you for laying them down. Father God, the one that did not wake up this morning, let's hope that they receive your salvation and your mercy, Father God. Father God, let's pray for the doctors. Father God, let's pray for the psychiatrists. Father God, let's pray for every one of us, even the destruction workers and everything, Father God. Father God, I pray for this church, Father God, that you rebuild it with a whole lot of people coming in, Father God. Father God, they got great ministry, great pastor, great shepherds, Father God. And Father God, we believe, Father God, and receive your glory, Father God. Father God, let's pray for the neighborhood, Father God. Father God, you watch over everything, Father God. You sit high, but you look below, Father God. And Father God, let's pray for the babies, Father God. There's one that is sick, Father God, heal them. Father God, touch every one of them, Father God. Touch the nurses, the doctors, Father God. Touch everyone, Father God. Father God, I pray for this bus driver, Father God, that she asked me to pray for, Father God. Her name Lisa, Father God. Father God, I don't know what she's going through, but Father God, lift her up, Father God. Let her know, Father God. I showed her the church that I go to, Father God. So, Father God, guide her steps into the right church, Father God. So, Father God, I praise and I glorify the kids on this Easter Sunday. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss! The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Last week's very long reading, 96 verses worth, which Brittany, Paul, and I read to you, is down just to 12 verses this week. As Lisa comes forward to read, I invite you to stand as we hear the word of God.
Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened.
All right. Our youngest friends, if you would like, you can head back to the Roots table in the back right corner. Miss Brandy is already making her way there, and you can participate in the service that way if you so choose. Well, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly we seek you. We give you thanks for this day, as every day. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. I promise you, I do not have a thing for cemeteries. But whenever I see one, I do have an itch to walk its hallowed grounds. In Abilene, Texas, at the corner of 10th and Treadway, sits the municipal cemetery, two very large fields spreading out over lazy hills, with upright headstones and above-ground mausoleums as far as the eye can see. Several times a week, I drive past its chain-link fence, going to church, running to errands, meeting up with friends. Sometimes, though, I would park my 2001 Chevy Blazer next to the fence and stroll among its quiet residents. In Thurber, Texas, a blink-and-you-miss-it town, Chelsea, when we were dating, took me to a famous restaurant there for my birthday. And when we finished eating, we drove past the local cemetery, and I convinced her to stop so we could go in. The 9-acre cemetery is recognized by the Texas Historical Commission, and a bronze plaque includes these lines. The Thurber Cemetery documents the multi-ethnic Thurber community. The graveyard divided into three sections with separate entrances: Catholic, Protestant, an African American. Even though death is a tie that binds all people together, we still divvied ourselves up over religion and racism. In Silva, North Carolina, on a trip my family took when Cora was not yet two, the house we stayed in stood a half mile from a cemetery, a minuscule one, flanked by oak trees with overhanging branches that shielded the tombs from the elements as best as they could. Only 8 to 10 graves were there, max, all weathered, all well past 100 years old, all carrying the same last name. We did not stay long, just long enough to read the names that we could, and just long enough for Cora to gather tiny handfuls of acorns. In Iceland, Chelsea and I hiked above a town I could not pronounce, and behold, 20 minutes in, there along the path was a cemetery. Newer white crosses and aged grave markers intermingled with one another, and at the head of it all, a pale blue clapboard church building, about the size of a one-room schoolhouse. It stood there like a preacher reading a eulogy. It was all so picturesque, this sight, with mountains in the background and in the foreground, an inlet off the North Atlantic Ocean. I joked to my wife that I would be okay with this spot as my eternal rest. closer to home, I walk cemeteries with many of you as you have buried your loved ones, as we have buried our loved ones. Later, I will go back and visit them alone, say hi to them, honor them, miss them. Just before the pandemic, I visited our friend Alan Chaffee, who many of you knew. Alan is buried at Pearland South, not far from Gussie Easter. He is in an unmarked plot, just a number in a database now, which is largely what he was even before he died. Being shown his general area, I sat upon the dirt near him, I think, and remembered. I don't know why I do any of this. Maybe it's the people that I try to picture based solely on their names, what their stories are, what they look like, why this one died so young, but that one did during their very long life. Maybe it's a show of respect that by simply and silently reading their name, I regard their life with reverence. Maybe it's a way for me to befriend my own mortality. I'm not sure. Today, we approach another cemetery together with flowers in hand. We walk amongst the dead together, angling for the little tomb over in the corner, freshly cut into the rock. You and I already know what we will find or not find when we get there, having paced the gist of this story 1,000 times before. Luke's version of the resurrection, what Lisa read so beautifully for us a moment ago, thank you, it varies somewhat from the other three Gospels. In fact, all the Gospels' Easter stories vary from one another. The details and recollections they recount differ and even disagree. I consider the variants a gift more than a conundrum, especially since they all reach the same conclusion. Luke begins this way. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. Early dawn is a common phrase in my household these days. Monday through Thursday, Chelsea gets up at 5 in the a.m. to work out, since her caseload and writing load are so full that exercise is nearly impossible if not done during that strange time between not yet the end of night and not yet the beginning of morning. When her alarm goes off, it's a 50-50 shot if I'm going to lie awake for an hour or if I'm going to fall back asleep until 6 a.m. when my alarm goes off. By the time she has finished her run, she has observed the sky shift ever so slightly from jet black to grayish black. Not enough light to read a novel, but no need to carry a headlamp either. In the dawn's earliest light, it's still dark, and the women in Luke's gospel go. While my walks between cemetery plots are voluntary, the women we meet today, the ones we meet every year around this time, their walks are not. I guess they could have chosen to stay home for all sorts of reasons, but there is only one option for them, really. Their compulsory move is not done out of force, but out of love. Their friend, their brother, the one they had broken bread with many times, the one they loved, the one who loved them is there, dead. So yes, they are going to go and administer the traditional Jewish burial rites. Having prepared the spices and ointments 2 days before, there's no need for them to scramble through the pantry at the last minute to get what's required. They meet up at a designated spot and head to the cemetery, carrying way more than just their funeral supplies and their knapsacks. The weight of those spices is heavier than they expected, mirroring the oppressive burden that they've carried within them since Friday, when Jesus spoke directly to them as he carried a crossbeam to his execution, and when they watched in horror from a distance when he breathed his last, and when they escorted Jesus' body to Joseph's newly purchased plot. Maybe it's best they walk in the dark, speaking in hushed voices, since darkness has become them. Suffering, violence, trauma, pain, doubt, discomfort, sickness, broken promises, all of these are easier to manage when shrouded by shadows. Still, they go because showing up is what you do. Upon reaching the graveside, they discover what we have seen coming all along. The rock that was supposed to cover Jesus' burial chamber is shoved aside, a huge shock, which is akin to finding the dirt that covers one of our loved ones unearthed and piled nearby. Crawling inside the hole, Jesus' body is not there. And the women we have followed are puzzled and confused, angry. Where is he, they ask, as yet another aspect of Jesus has been stolen from them. Are we at the right tomb? Did the gardener break in and move him temporarily? Did the thieves do this? Did the priests? I bet it was the priests. What about the Romans? Do they want to humiliate him even more? Not surprisingly, no one stops to think, he must be alive, because why would you? It's not until two strangers come along that a new possibility is added to their moment. Their clothes gleam as bright as lightning, a blinding contrast to the gray-black sky around them. The bolts terrify the women, so much so that they fall to the ground and cover their faces, just trying not to die themselves. These beings, rather than apologizing or helping them up, ask them a question that changes everything. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Well, for one thing, they are not looking for the living among the dead. They are looking for the dead among the dead. That's what you do at cemeteries. But the angels, I think it's safe to call them that, they are insistent. The one you are looking for is not here. Yes, the women can see that. But he's not here among the dead because he is alive. He is risen. Don't you remember how he told you while he was still alive, they said, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again? Don't you remember that? And the women do. They remember. Jesus did say that to them, not just to the 12 male disciples. And what the women do next, not because the angels commanded them to, is leave the cemetery, you can't look for the living among the dead, and head back to the remaining 11 and report everything. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others, these are the women who step to the microphone and express the inexpressible, he is alive. There, as one Easter homily is met with expected reservation, not because they are women, most thankfully, but because their message is so absurd, so inconceivable, so nonsensical. Of course, the small group of hearers find it hard to believe, because dead and buried means just that. But Peter, whose own light went out when Jesus's did, gets up and sprints to the tomb, stoops in, nothing there but discarded clothes, walks away, mystified, shaking his head. Since that's the end of our text for this morning, I'll not go any further except to say that we'll finish Luke chapter 24 over the next 4 weeks. You, my friends, are certainly welcome to join us for that, and I hope that you do. For now, let's consider three brief things. When I say brief, I hope I don't convey an impression of insignificance. I certainly don't want to do that. Brief just means succinct enough to carry around with you, nimble enough for you to share with others, and hopeful enough for you to move with joy. The first is the women who preach their Easter sermon with all the wonder and all the excitement of whatever just happened, and yet teach without all the answers. Yes, please. These women, Luke makes sure to point out, have been with Jesus all along, as much of a disciple as anyone else, and in some ways more so, having stuck around and watched the tragedy and woke early to navigate the pathways to the cemetery. Their encounter with the strangers and their subsequent testimonies to the apostles cemented forever their place as witnesses to the God of grace and the God of glory. So praise be to God for the women in our lives. Mothers and grandmothers and sisters and daughters and friends and surrogates and others who by their very lives showed us and taught us about Jesus and his love which cannot die. Some of their names are listed in the bulletin you may have picked up on your way in, and we honor them with flowers and tributes. Others you can picture in your mind right now as I speak, even if they have already found their place among the dead, though God has promised that they will not stay like that forever. Our lives have risen a little higher because of Christ in them, and we have been changed. Second, darkness. In the four Easter versions we have, the gospel writers make sure to point out the time of day. It's still dark outside, that strange period between not yet the end of night and not yet the beginning of morning. Darkness, for all its reputation for scariness, seems to be the main ingredient we keep forgetting about when it comes to resurrection. When we associate faith only with light, we fail to remember that much of God's best work happens when we cannot see. Whether in Genesis, when the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, or in Luke, on the first day of the week, when earliest dawn still meant no sun, God and darkness is precisely where light takes its first steps. Think also about the tiny lily seed plunged underneath the ground, or a clump of cells the size of a blueberry developing in a mother's womb, or simply closing the eyes in order to sleep. Life emerges in darkness, a newness rising from it that no ultrasound or amount of rest can fully predict. What the Easter story tells us year after year is that encounters with the risen Jesus begins in the dark, when all hope seems lost, when death is the only friend around, when the Christ candle is too short to light. A psalmist once wrote this, "Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." If you feel in the dark in regards to your faith, in regards to Jesus, to God, to yourself, to the state of the world, I want to tell you that is okay, and you are okay. God chooses to sit in the darkness with you for as long as it takes, and long after that, too. Third and final, empty tomb. It's interesting that one of the most popular symbols of Easter for Christians is an empty tomb, even though never in the Easter story do we meet Jesus inside of it. Every angel we've ever talked to at the grave gives us the heads up, saying, feel free to look inside if you want, but I'm telling you, he is not there. Like Peter, we can rummage around the burial clothes as much as possible, and still, we cannot look for the living among the dead. If it's a blessing from God you seek, check elsewhere. Don't linger there. The blessing that was here has already left. Only remnants of a person remain. The blessing could not stay. The isolation behind a rock was too much. If it's an Easter blessing that you seek, step outside of the tomb's barrenness, where the earliest of dawn is becoming dawn. Take in the air, fresh, cool, and new. Fill your lungs with it. Receive it. It's the Spirit of the living Jesus that dwells in you. Hold it in. And then exhale. With the breath that exits, release also your shame, your fear, your not enoughness, your need to be right, your need to know, whatever it is that lodges itself in the pit of your belly. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, God is making all things new, and God is making you new too. Drop the funeral spices and ointments that you use to cover up the stench of death that is everywhere. Hands now free, would you open them? The blessing of resurrection is yours, now and forever. And when ready, trail the blessing's presence wherever it may lead, wherever it may go, be it back home to people who say it's all nonsense or do not care, or to your vocation amongst the people God has entrusted to your care, or to the darker parts of your life that God is still tending to, or to your children, or to the raging storms or the raging wars. Carry this blessing with you, that Christ is risen, and Christ is risen indeed. Praise be to God for living hope. And together, my friends, we say or we type, amen and amen. Our waters are ready for baptism. I turned on the heat this morning. If baptism is something that is stirring in you, or if you are ready for that, then you may come and see me as we stand in a moment to sing. In baptism, we claim a life other than our own. That's what we do. We take on the life of Jesus and his cross, his death, his resurrection. So if that is something that is moving within you, you may come and see me as we stand together and sing.
In Christ alone our hope is found. He is our light, our strength, our song. This cornerstone, this common ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. Our comforter, our all in all,
Here in the love of Christ we stand, in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ we live, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands for victory, sin's curse is gone and we are free, for he is ours and we are Christ's, bought with his precious sacrifice. No guilt in life, no fear in death. Once we were blind, but now we see. From common ground to journey's end, Jesus commands our destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand, till he returns or calls us home. Here in the power of Christ we'll stand.
Please be seated. Man, y'all are singing this morning. It sounds great. Thank you. On this Easter Sunday, we celebrate the God who lives among us, in us, around us, through us. We eat the bread and drink from the cup with joy because we remember the love God has for us and that sin and death do not prevail. The empire of the world, for as many Caesars that keep on trying, cannot overcome the power of Christ's resurrection. We keep telling each other this truth, and we see it in the simple bread and the simple cup. This is my body, Jesus says, broken for you. This is my blood, poured out as a covenant for so many people. So we eat and drink together as one and with joy. As we have become accustomed to doing, I'm going to ask a couple of volunteers in just a moment to come and help me serve Christ's body and Christ's blood to each other. If you want to do that, you can come forward after I pray. Let's pray together and then we'll share this meal. We do praise thee, O God, for the light that you have given us, for the ways that you have blessed us through the women, the mothers, the daughters, the siblings, the others in our lives, the ways that you sit with us in the darkness for as long as it takes, for the ways that the tomb is empty and you point us to your presence and your blessing elsewhere. Give us eyes to see. Give us eyes now to see it in this simple bread, in this simple cup, and in each other. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen.
You are.
Let's also give because we, my friends, have generously been given. If you want to give of your money today, you can do that. So we'll have some folks walk around with some offering plates. You can put in some of those cards that you may have written on, those yellow ones, blue ones, pink ones, and put in the offering plate as well as your offering. You can certainly give online on our website to bring it to the office, mail it in, and as always, we will receive it with gratitude. Thank you for doing that. Let's pray together, please. Thank you indeed, O God, for the ways you have given to us generously. Thank you for Jesus, who taught us how to give, showed us the way. We also now give, and we pray from the hands and the hearts that give, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done in heaven and here on earth, right among us. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. You see this one just about every week that we do have a Thursday Bible class ongoing that Andrea is now teaching, correct? This is via Zoom on Thursdays, 10:30. If you would like to be a part of that, King up in the sound booth is your great connection to be a part of that class. We also have an Easter egg hunt right after our Bible classes today. So if you have young ones or if you would like to scramble for some eggs yourself, then that's going to be at about 12 o'clock immediately after classes. If you have children or if you like to take pictures of your kids as they hunt for eggs, we're going to gather down this hallway to my right, the children's wing, and we're going to wait inside before we release everybody to scatter and see whatever they can discover out in the courtyard. So immediately after, if you have a basket, you can grab that. We have a couple extra if needed. So we'll do that right after classes, 12 p.m. Down the hallway. Also, you see these lilies, these beautiful lilies that are surrounding me. It smells great up here. I hope that you can smell that too. If you walked in and you picked up a Easter lilies bulletin, if you see your name in that, then one of these lilies is yours to take home. Take it home, plant it, put it right next to your front door. This is yours to keep. If you do not see your name in the bulletin, that does not mean that you are not loved or blessed. So come and grab some of these extra lilies that we will most certainly have. Take it either for yourself or take it and give it away to somebody who's not here. Can you do that? Can you bless them with an Easter lily today? Yes, you can do that. Take these home with you, please. Okay, and as I mentioned before, we do have classes all over this building, and I hope that you can decide to stay and be a part of one today. We have our preschool and our Roots room. We have elementary classes with Miss Martha in room 108. Our teens get the grand work today of helping me hide all the eggs so the chocolate does not melt too soon. Room 106, Chelsea, as she talked about last week, is starting a brand new class from a book entitled Following Jesus in an Age of Anxiety. 111 is Esther here in the auditorium, Revelation, and Mercy and Ruth and others gather in the prayer room for the prayer team. We sure hope that you stick around and be a part of one of these today. Again, if you're visiting with us, welcome. We hope that you have felt warmly welcome today. We're so glad that you've chosen to be with us. As we close, I invite you to stand, please. This is the conclusion of the reading from Philippians chapter 2 that I began last week, and now I read that first part again and conclude in its entirety. Receive this as we go. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Go and do likewise. Go forth in peace and purpose.